be featured on Noon Tunes, send me an email at mcgrathd@gtc.edu or call me at 262-564-3880. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave McGrath.
WGTD-FM is now available on your smart speaker. Simply say, play WGTD on TuneIn and hear WGTD programming. 24/7 Jazz is also available. Simply ask, play WGTD HD2 on TuneIn.
Support comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. A trusted resource since 1999, the ADRC is a no-cost, one-stop shop for older people, adults with disabilities, and their families. For more information, call 262-605-6646.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Hello, this is Jonathan Shaler on WGTD's Education Matters. I'm very excited to announce my guest for this morning. It is UW Parkside Chancellor Debbie Ford, the chancellor at UW Parkside and my colleague. I had the great pleasure of working with Debbie for her entire 14-year tenure at UW Parkside. Part of that time as university committee chair and in other roles. And I'll just have to say that personally, this is a very poignant interview for me because we are saying goodbye to Debbie. She's moving on to the Indiana University Southeast in New Albany, chancellor at that university. And it's a great move for her. She'll talk a little bit about that today, I'm sure. But we just want to get the big picture from Debbie. Everything that she's done, you can fit that in, right, in 43 minutes. And everything she's done for the past 14 years at Parkside and what she's looking forward to in her next stage. I'll just want to say a couple of words about Debbie before we dive in, and that is that she has been a fantastic leader for this campus and for southeastern Wisconsin. In a recent article in the Kenosha News, we were reminded that she has led one of the most diverse campuses in the UW system, and that she has shepherded significant improvements in our student completion rates. She recently accepted the 2022 Excellence in Innovation Award for Student Success in College Completion by the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. So many people from the community have commented recently on the great contributions she's made. Carthage College President John Swallow remembers her undaunted and collaborative spirit. And we've heard from Kenosha County Executive Samantha Kirkman, who says that Debbie leaving is a big loss. We'll always remember her commitment to an advocacy for UW Parkside. It's been top notch. She oversaw huge developments, including physical developments to the campus, Wiley Hall and the Rita, but that's just icing on the cake as far as I'm concerned. I could go on. One last comment. University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman says, Debbie has been an extraordinary leader at UW Parkside, and it is bittersweet to see our friend and a fantastic leader leave the UW system. She's articulate, thoughtful, and passionate. Her personal touch connected her with the community and students like few others, as she served as UW Parkside's chancellor for over 13 years. As the first person in her family to go to college, she had a natural affinity for the close to 60% of UW Parkside graduates who are first generation students. Welcome, Debbie Ford.
Woo! Wow. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being a phenomenal colleague here at UW Parkside. It's working with people like you that have made this work so meaningful and joyful. And thank you to my colleagues and partners and friends across the community for their well wishes. It is indeed bittersweet that I am transitioning from UW Parkside. And I like to say transitioning rather than leaving. Because I am not sure that Parkside will ever leave me. It is deep in my heart in very, very special ways. And we're going to have a chance to talk about that today. But I want your listeners to know how much I appreciate you for saying yes to being one of the many leaders and I would say producers of and interviewers for Education Matters, an important show here. And I've been on Education Matters before, particularly early in my tenure and about a decade ago when we made significant changes to our education program. And we may talk about that today.
That would be great.
There's a lot to talk about here. And as long as we're talking about UW Parkside, I'm good.
You're good. Okay. What's the latest news on campus? What are some of the more recent developments?
Wow. Well, that's always a great question, right? So let's talk a little bit about the campus and what we're up to. Well, you know, as we're doing this interview, we're on our spring break for our spring 2023 semester. And we are coming off of an amazing fall semester. As you mentioned, UW Parkside received the American Association of State Colleges and Universities Innovation or Excellence and Innovation Award for Student Success and Completion. And I was able to pick up this award in November of 2022 on behalf of the campus community. And ASCU gives one award per year for student success and completion. And we earned that really for our decades-long commitment to improve the outcomes with and for our students. And Jonathan, you mentioned the success of student success and completion here. And that is something that all of us have worked hard to improve at UW Parkside. And really about our first 40 years of our 53-year tenure at Parkside, about 25% of our graduates finished. That was not good enough. And so when I came, partnered with our faculty, partnered with our staff, partnered with the UW system and the Regents and the community, and we now are graduating just over 40% of all the students who start. Now, that's still not good enough. And we have our sights set on being well over 50%, which would be sort of the mid average for institutions like UW Parkside. But what else is happening on campus, right? One of the other things that we have just completed is our visit with the Higher Learning Commission visit team, the accrediting body for UW Parkside and educational institutions across the Midwest. And this is an every 10-year visit, and I'm sure we can talk a little bit about that. But I think the other thing I would want folks to know is spring is in the air at UW Parkside.
Okay.
And We all love the spring semester because it's a time when we celebrate what happens across this academic year. So we have our academic achievement celebration in mid-May. We have our commencement, and commencement's my favorite day on campus. We have our research and creative showcase where our students demonstrate what they've been able to do in the classroom, in our labs, and really inside and outside of the classroom through high impact learning. Our faculty will participate in various symposia as well to really close out, I would say, another successful semester here. And then we're welcoming the next group of students. So, Jonathan, I could talk about Parkside all day, but let me tell you what happened last Friday.
Okay.
Last Friday, we had our first admitted student day for the incoming class of 2023. And we had just under 100 of our new students join us for a half a day to meet with each other, to begin that transition from high school to college. And we even simulated what it's going to be like to walk across the stage and receive that UW Parkside degree. Here at Parkside, we recruit graduates, not students. We want to make sure that this incoming class and the group we call the class of 2027 knows that we're excited that they are here and thrilled that they will be part of our learning community at UW Parkside. So
that's great.
That's a glimpse. And then I have a few other things to talk about, but I'll turn it back to you. See if you want
to. Well, I just love that positive visualization that you presented to the incoming students. I think that's fantastic to foreshadow their graduation. I'm curious about the Higher Learning Commission's visit. This is something, if people don't know, that happens every decade or so. When was their last visit to campus?
Yeah, so the Higher Learning Commission was here in 2013. Mm-hmm. And we did exceptionally well during that visit. And then we entered a new process with the HLC, as we abbreviate it. We were one of the last campuses to go through what was the former process in 2013. And the new process is called the Open Pathway. And what we had to do then was complete our first step in the pathway in 2017. So we prepared an assurance argument to demonstrate that indeed UW Parkside was meeting the various criterion around our mission, around compliance rules and regulations. Certainly the heart of these arguments is around teaching and learning and demonstrating the assessment of learning inside and outside of the classroom, and then how we steward the resources, our human resources, our financial resources, community resources. So that's a high level summary of sort of the five criterion. And then we also had to, as part of this process at that 2017 mark, adopt a quality improvement project. This is something we committed to as a campus, and ours was around math reform. And we've done a lot in the math reform area, and in terms of how we look at remedial math. We do not have remedial math at Parkside anymore. We have aligned that with co-requisite courses and supplemental instruction. We also have introduced math pathways so that not every major requires college algebra. The math required for the programs aligns with the curricular needs of that program. Mm-hmm. And these opportunities are now at scale. And then we started that in 2017, and then over the next 5 years, assessed that and had to prepare a report on our impact and our progress. So that was reviewed last year in 2022 by the Higher Learning Commission as part of this process. And then the final step, at least, I guess, sort of final step with the campus, was a campus visit by a team of professionals and colleagues from other institutions. And they were here last Monday and Tuesday, mid-March, and visited with so many colleagues. And let me tell you, I was so impressed by all of the UW Parkside colleagues, our faculty, our campus leaders, our staff, our students, members of the governing board, partners in the community, members of our foundation board and advisory boards who came out to talk about UW Parkside. The whole theme for the Higher Learning Commission is continuous improvement. This allows us to talk about and demonstrate what we do well, but also articulate what we need to do better. And I missed one point, right? We had to do an assurance argument as well and provide volumes of evidence. It's not just checking a box and saying, yes, we do this, but we had to demonstrate it through evidence files. And the report itself, it's about 40,000 words.
Oh my.
It had a limit. And yeah. I think there are about 1,500 evidence files that we provided. And we anxiously wait for their report. But I can tell you from the exit meeting we had with the visit team that they were very pleased. They said in their exit comments, it was a wonderful campus visit. And they really complimented UW Parkside and our learning community for our commitment to our mission, to our students, and to the work that we are doing each and every day.
Well, that's fantastic. And this is about reaccreditation. This is serious business, right?
Absolutely. And it is something that we, it's our mark of quality, right? And if you're not accredited, there's a lot of things you can't do.
Oh, really?
I mean, your ability to administer federal financial aid would be in jeopardy, right? Having accreditation by the Higher Learning Commission or any of the other regional accreditors is a mark of quality. But we go further at Parkside. A number of our academic programs have individual accreditations, and many of our new programs that we have launched really in the past 5 years, we are working to have those be accredited. They're processes that you have to go through. But to me, that is a testament to our commitment of our faculty and our deans to make sure that we're not just offering any program, but we are offering an accredited program that has been evaluated by peers at other universities. And accredited programs, to me, we know these are the outcomes that we expect when our students graduate from them. And these are the outcomes that business and industry are looking for in our graduates. So the Higher Learning Commission accreditation, critically important, but those program accreditations are equally important.
So could you name a couple of the programs that have received that accreditation?
Sure. So probably the one most well-known and the largest program at Parkside is the business program from the AACSB. And we're one of a very small number. I believe it's less than 5% of business programs that are accredited nationally or internationally. It's actually an international accreditation. But one of the, I would say, hallmarks of our business program is we have the only accredited competency-based business program that occurred in our last accreditation visit. That's an every five-year cycle. Our chemistry program has the American Chemical Society accreditation. Our the newly announced physician assistant program that we are planning through our College of Arts and College of Natural and Health Sciences. Whoops.
That was a physician assistant?
Yes, physician assistant. That program is going through the accreditation process. And that's several years as we work towards that. And then our clinical mental health counseling program, the new program that was launched at the graduate level a few years ago, is going through an accreditation process as well. So a number of programs here are accredited, and but a number of programs will be accredited in the future.
Okay. So I'm going to take a sharp left turn now and ask you, looking back over your 14 years at UW Parkside, what are the memories that are going to stay with you?
You know, I'm almost speechless when I talk about this, right? Because, you know, 14 years is a significant amount of time, but it also seems like yesterday. And so, Jonathan, I want to go back in time with you.
Okay.
And that, you know, when you served as our chair of our university committee, and again, say thank you for your leadership. And there were some pretty tough times. Back then, right?
And it was interesting.
We had a lot going on at the university, and you were a stabilizing force. You were a thought partner with me, and you always have told me what I needed to hear. Okay, so I really appreciate that. I do want to also you know, talk a little bit about your son. And, you know, you would bring Isaac, I think at that time he was probably 4 or 5, to campus. And he's on campus a lot, which is great, and future Rangers for sure. But Isaac would come into our meetings, and he would color and have fun while he was here. And we were able to get our business done. And so great memories of what I consider little Isaac. I think Isaac is now taller than me. And I know he is crazy advanced in mathematics, well beyond my capabilities. So, you know, how is Isaac today?
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, since you mentioned those times with Isaac, I just want to say that's one of your hallmarks as a chancellor. I think one thing you'll be remembered for is your graciousness and your generosity and your positive spirit. It's always a delight to run into you on campus, because no matter what you're doing, you always have time for people, and you always reach out, and you always remember names and ask questions that are relevant, and it's authentic. So I think we're going to miss that a lot.
Well, thank you. And, you know, authenticity is something that's really important to me. And I think as a leader, and sometimes as a busy leader, right, it's hard to do that. So thank you for recognizing that. And I think that probably leads me to the answer to your question. What will I remember most about my time here at UW Parkside? And it really is about the relationships. And I want to make sure that your listeners and our campus community and our broader community know it is about we, okay, not me. And I've had the good fortune to be the steward and be the leader of our campus for the past 14 years. But it really is the people of Parkside that have made this learning community what it is today. And no matter the role that you play at UW-Parkside, it is important. And that is what is so meaningful. So it's those conversations in the hallway. It's the conversations in the parking lot. It's the board meetings that I've had an opportunity to attend on behalf of the university and always champion what we do here. It's the relationships and the, I call myself a maximizer. It is one of my strengths from Strengths Finder. I can kind of see how things and people work together. So I'm always making connections. And I then trust that those connections are going to work. I don't have to be in the middle. I get out of the way. Right. And so it is truly, truly the relationships. And I think the other thing is I've reflected on my time here as a leader at UW-Parkside. It is also the joy of watching our students learn. And so I could share thousands of examples, but I'm going to share two.
Okay.
So, and one happened this week. So it, as I said, it's spring break week at UW-Parkside when we're doing this interview. And yesterday, three students and Professor Alvaro Garcia, who is our associate dean, orchestra conductor, and director of Ranger Studios. During COVID, he learned how to set up a studio so that we could live stream our theater and musical performances. And he has turned that into a minor in digital media and production. So this group of students is resurrecting Ranger News, our student newspaper, into a digital format. And they came to interview yesterday. So they came in with four cameras, four mics, wires galore, and we set up in my office. So, and Alvaro told me it's not about the interview. It's about they have 30 minutes to set up. We're then going to do the interview and then we have to take down because it's all about learning. And to watch how that unfolded as a participant in this internship could not have brought me more joy. And of course, I get to talk about Parkside and my time here, but it was all about the learning, right?
Right.
So that is what brings me great joy. And the culmination of that certainly is commencement, the one day when we when all of that comes together in December and May each year. But let me give you another example. I'm going to talk about you. So last spring, you invited me to Shakespeare in the Prison. And so I have visited other correctional institutions across my career, but had not been to the Racine Correctional Institute with you, but I know of your program. And folks said, if you get a chance to go, go. Jonathan, when it was an amazing experience to watch you with the men and women of your cast. It was amazing to hear their stories, the talk back experience of what they learned, how many of them are taking your courses for credit, how many of them are taking it because they love acting. It gives them an outlet How many of them shared their own personal stories of how they came to be incarcerated? But the hopes they have for their future and the future of their families, it was moving. And I walked away, and I've described your that experience as one of the best examples of the Wisconsin idea in action. Taking a university experience and education to every corner of our state. And you are making sure over the, you've been doing this 15, 20 years?
27, maybe?
27, okay. But for 27 years, you're making sure that folks that too many times we don't consider that are, would be interested in the education, particularly higher education, you have brought that to them. So kudos to you. And really moving experience. I just hope that I can come back for, I believe you're doing Macbeth in spring. Oh, great, great, great Shakespeare play. But again, that's what brings me the greatest joy, right? The university's received a number of awards. That's awesome. We've done a number of incredible building transformations. Love it, right? But it's about the people. And watching, learning, and action, that means the most to me.
Beautiful. Thank you for mentioning the Shakespeare Project and your vision of UW Parkside and what matters most is something I couldn't agree more with. It is about the relationships. So what are you looking forward to as you transition to your new position at Indiana University Southeast?
Well, as we talked about early on, right, it's bittersweet that I'm transitioning from UW Parkside, but it is definitely a pull to a new community. And to remind your listeners, I have an opportunity to go home. And I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, which is just across the river from New Albany, Indiana. And my mom, my sisters, my nieces and nephews, our college friends, are all in Louisville and Southern Indiana. And IU Southeast service region is Southern Indiana and the greater Louisville area. And of course, I know the listeners know that I'm going to be a grandmother in a few weeks. And our daughter, Abby, and son-in-law, Shane, are in Indianapolis. And our son, John David, he'll be moving to Chicago. Coming up, so still close, you know, but not as close, and we will certainly miss having him. But what am I looking? I'm looking forward to being, you know, back home after being away for 20 years. But I'm also looking forward to having the opportunity to champion student success and academic excellence at Indiana University Southeast. The campus is so much like UW Parkside. It's in this beautiful setting like we have here, but you can see the Floyd's Knobs, you know, the Knobs of Indiana. So it's a little hilly, beautiful. It's just a little bit older than UW Parkside. It is part of a, you know, phenomenal university. The Indiana University, and it's a little different than our system. It's Indiana University, one university, seven locations. And then one of the things that I heard when I visited is the campus really wants to enhance the partnerships that it has in the Southern Indiana, across all of Indiana, and really in the greater Louisville area. And everybody knows how much I love building partnerships and love championing the mission of the university and linking and leveraging people and opportunities. And so I think this couldn't be a better fit, and to be able to do this at a great university in my home community, I just am very honored to be invited to go and really do this again. I'm excited.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. New chapter. I mean, and obviously they, in vetting you, looked at your track record here at UW Parkside, and that influenced their decision pretty heavily, I would think.
Oh, I'm sure, because some of the things that we have wrestled with and faced over the years, and even some of the things we're facing in this post-pandemic environment, we're different today. As a university, as a community, as a region, as a society. And the solutions that we used previously are not going to work in the future. So I'm sure, you know, the success that we have had at Parkside played a role. But I also hope that the campus will be patient and recognizing that we are going to do it together at IU Southeast as well. And looking forward to meeting my colleagues, getting to know them, and really setting the vision for continued success for the university, and particularly the graduates.
Well, knowing you, you're going to start the ground running, and it's going to be a fantastic new experience. And we all wish you the best of luck. Not that you need it. You carry your own. But Debbie, I just wanted to ask you a more kind of broad philosophical question towards the end of our interview, which is just, what's it all about?
Wow.
And by that, I mean, I don't know, life, education, higher education, why go to college? What's it all mean?
Yeah. Wow. You know, Jonathan, we could take that in so many ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about sort of my why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a couple of things I would offer, right? I have always strived to make a difference really, I believe, serve others and adopt Robert Greenleaf's servant leadership model. And so I think being a leader in higher education at the universities where I've served, Spalding University, University of West Florida, University of Wisconsin Parkside, Indiana University Southeast, and then where I went to school, the University of Louisville and Indiana University, have all positioned me well to do that and have given me the, I would say, the runway and the latitude to do that. And so for that, I'm grateful for the people I've been surrounded by and the people who have supported me. To be able to do, you know, the work that I do. My why at Parkside is, as chancellor, is to provide the best learning environment, an optimal learning environment for all of us to do our best work as learners, as scholars, as leaders, as researchers, whatever our role is, right? But I think as I really reflect on, you know, where I am in life, it also comes down to family and relationships. They don't happen by accident. You have to work at those. And I think about what it's going to be like to be a grandmother and sort of pay it forward as a leader, as an educator, And I think as a woman, it's something that I reflect on a lot. But you hit a chord, right? When you said, why college?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are too many people today talking about you don't need to go to college. I don't agree with that, obviously, because the University of Louisville, as a first generation college student, transformed my life and opened doors of opportunity that would have never opened otherwise. My parents, you know, did not go to college, but they championed it in our home from a very, very early age. And I had the right mentors and the right support system and folks who saw things in me that I didn't see in myself. So I do agree that not everybody should or wants to go to college, but I do believe in lifelong learning. And learning will continue no matter how old we are and if it's in a formal environment or not. But I would hope that we would continue and particularly think about where we are as a society in a knowledge economy. And for us to be competitive in this world, we need to encourage more people to continue their formal education, be that certificates, badges, associate degrees, bachelor's degrees, or master's and professional degrees and doctoral degrees. Learning is so important. And again, I talked about one of my strengths as being a maximizer. My other one is as a learner. That's why I love being chancellor. I learn something new every day. And I would love to go back to school. I just don't have time to do that. So let's wrap our arms around the importance of learning and really support today's learners, because all of us have something to learn. And really support students of every age on these journeys.
Beautifully said, and thank you for that. I just want to say, Debbie, that we are going to miss you, and we are deeply grateful for your contributions to the university and to Southeastern Wisconsin and Wisconsin more broadly. And I know that, and the region, I should say, because that would include Northern Illinois and the surrounding areas. So best of luck to you in your next chapter. And thank you for spending time with us today on WGTD's Education Matters. This is Jonathan Shaler. We've just been speaking with Chancellor Deborah Ford, UW Parkside.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show here on WGTD, we're going to be spending some time with Isabel Rivera Vila, formerly a faculty member at Carthage College, now teaching at American University, a gifted and skilled documentarian whose most recent film, Africas and the Magic Box, was just screened at Carthage College. We'll talk about the film and her very successful career on Monday's morning show, beginning just after 8 o'clock. Support comes from Offsite, providing co-managed and fully managed IT solutions to help their clients navigate the complexity of running operations across multiple data centers, cloud platforms, and software applications. Visit off-site.com/radio.
All this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're featuring the music of Kenosha singer-songwriter Brent Mitchell. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, We feature a song by a local artist, so please join us for Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.